Before the pandemic, our relationship was already in trouble.
It's like we argue about everything.
I mean, he comes home and he sits in the driveway, in the car, instead of coming into the house with me and his son.
See, she doesn't trust me. And she talks about me to her girlfriends. Like she speaks so loudly like she wants me to hear. What am I supposed to do with that?
Why do you have to get out of the bed at 11:20 at night to return a text?
You see, she doesn't even know how to talk to me.
And he refuses to talk to me.
Like the first couple weeks of quarantine, together in the house all day and all night, just confirmed it's me.
I can't do this anymore.
You know what? I'm done.
I think I'm done.
Maybe we need to get some help.
I think we need to talk to somebody.
Marriages are under attack. And if you or someone you know needs help, then join Pastors Lewis and Stephanie Tucker for My Church Marriage Seer Training. Pastors Lewis and Stephanie Tucker have designed a course to help your marriage to not just survive, but to thrive. Get the tools necessary for a successful biblical marriage. You can enjoy this course live on Roku, Fire Stick, and Apple TV. Why not make an investment into your marriage that will impact generations? My Church Lynchburg Marriage Seer Training.
Good evening. I'm Pastor Tuck, and this is my beautiful wife, Pastor Steph, and welcome to My Church Marriage Seer Training. Now, I know some of you may be wondering, what is seer training? Well, in the military, soldiers who are part of special forces are required to go through seer training, which stands for survival, evasion, resistance, and escape, so that in the case of capture, they can endure the extreme conditions they may encounter at the hands of the enemy. Well, Pastor Stephanie and I are going to teach you how to go from just surviving marriage to enjoying marriage by retraining you so that you can endure the trials of life. And if you will commit to joining us every third Thursday, we're going to give you the tools necessary to have and maintain a successful biblical marriage. But before we do, let us pray. Pastor Stephanie, pray us in.
Lord, we just thank you for this evening. Lord God, I just pray that as we share our hearts, Lord God, with couples, Lord God, those that are planning to be married, are married. Lord God, I pray if there's any strife or tribulation, Lord God, that something that we teach tonight will be pleasing unto you and you intervene on their behalf. And Lord, I just thank you now, and I pray, God, as we continue through this lesson, that again, you will be glorified, and you move my husband and I out the way, and Holy Spirit, you do what you do best. You always show up. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, this evening, we want to talk about something that we will all have to deal with in our lives and our relationships, and that is navigating seasons of change. Because change is inevitable. During our journey through life and as couples, our response to these transitions can profoundly shape our relationship's trajectory. So our focus tonight will be on understanding God's divine purpose in different seasons while developing the skills necessary to endure them and support each other through the challenges that come as a result of them, so that we can remain spiritually and emotionally committed to our marriage.
See, life can present us with a number of transitions, from career changes to parenthood, shifts in the family structure, like having to care for additional loved ones due to aging, illness, or death, relocating homes and facing health challenges. And believe it or not, Pastor Tuck and I have had to deal with all of these.
Yes.
These type of changes can either drive couples apart or pull them closer. But the key is unity. The Bible says two are better than one. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 through 10. So don't navigate new seasons in isolation. It's important to remember that we're in this together.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about this lesson as we were preparing, and I was thinking, we know somebody that's, everybody we know is going through a season of change. I mean, we know people who are engaged. We know people who are just newly married. We know people who are pregnant. We know people who are with newborns. Mm-hmm. We know people who have parents who are having illnesses that they are caring for. We know people who are, have parents who have just passed away. We know people who are becoming empty nesters, people who are having their first kids go off to college. Mm-hmm. We know people who are transitioning because they are retiring. We know people who are just going into ministry. We know people who are who have spouses who are ill. We know people who have just lost a spouse. We know people who are in just about every season of life.
Yep.
And I mean, we're watching people in every season. And just like Pastor Stephanie said, we have been dealing with just about every one of those seasons. I mean, we've dealt with death of our parents. We've dealt with, had to deal with taking care of aging and ailing parents. I mean, we've dealt with our kids going off to school. We've had to deal with, you know, being newlyweds, to having children, to going into ministry, to financial leaving a job, changes. To financial changes, to mm-hmm. having health issues of our own, mm-hmm. to relocating. I mean, to all kinds of career shifts. I mean, we've had to deal with all of these things. And I mean, we've seen all of the stresses and the strains. We felt them ourselves, and we've watched how all of those things have had strains and stresses on people's relationships. We've seen people that we've known personally, close and tangent relationships that we've seen, and we've watched some of those strains mm-hmm. and how hard they can be on marriages. We've seen marriages fail. Yes. We've seen people who have been going under the great weight of those. And that's why this was something that was wearing on our heart, because we see the pressures that these can put on your relationships if you don't take the time.
Yeah.
See, God has a purpose for everything that he allows to take place in our lives. As a matter of fact, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 provides us with wisdom. He says, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. This scripture reminds us that even the hard seasons have divine purpose, and that God remains present through every transition we face. You know, we learned that lesson, I mean, firsthand last summer when Pastor Stephanie was dealing with one of the worst health challenges she's ever dealt with. I mean, it was one of the worst seasons that we dealt with as a family. And it was, as I described it to people, we were dealing with war and peace. It was the best of times and the worst of times. Mm-hmm. We were in some of the best transitional seasons. I mean, we had relocated to a whole new place, a brand new home. Both of our kids had graduated from college. And so, I mean, we were in some of the, should have been some of the most celebratory seasons of our life. You know, both of us were retired. I mean, we were in some of the best seasons, but we were also dealing with some of the worst seasons. We had lost both of our parents, mm-hmm. and now she was dealing with one of the greatest health challenges of our life. And so it was some seasons that we were having to deal with, and it would put us under some pressures that we had to face as a family, as a couple. And it really started to put some things in perspective that we had to come to grips with. But we had to recognize that even some of those toughest seasons, God allowed us to go through, mm-hmm. and God had a purpose for. So every transition we face, God has a purpose. Mm. He allows us to go through those things. He has a divine purpose, but he was present in the midst of those. God's purpose may be to grow your faith, mm-hmm. or to draw you closer together, or to simply develop your character. Mm. But the key is, don't resent the season. Ask God, what is he trying to reveal in it?
Yep.
The Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, for the testing of your faith produces. So I encourage you to keep a record of what God is doing in the season together as a couple. Write what you believe God is teaching you through each change, so that when it's over, you'll recognize his purpose. See, that's why during these times, it's important to maintain open communication. Mm-hmm. Make it a priority to regularly discuss your feelings, expectations, and concerns with each other. Mm-hmm. Talk to each other about what's going on, what you're feeling, what you're experiencing. Because mm-hmm. even though you all are experiencing the same thing, you're not experiencing it the same way.
That's right. That's good. Yep. Because there were things that I didn't know my husband was actually going through. You know, because if y'all know Pastor Tuck, he is one of the most strongest, stoic, no-nonsense type of guys. But when he saw his rib being broken, there was a tender area that was damaged. And I saw some of the fragility in him. And, you know, again, we had to communicate. And sometimes, y'all, it wasn't always pleasant. Because, you know, we're dealing with just the stressors of trying to keep each other happy. Plus, our two daughters were there, thank God, during the summer to help. And we actually had to have family communication because sure enough, if one part of the family is in discord, the other part of the family is affected.
Yep.
So, you know, we had to maintain that open communication.
Yeah. And you know, and she's right about that because in the midst of that, I know one of the toughest parts of that is, like she said, you know, I'm a man of faith. And everything that I deal with, I deal with faith. I only know how to deal with things in two manners. It's either faith or flesh. And from the flesh perspective, how I've always dealt with things has been violent. Because that was my world. That's where I came from. I came from a place of the streets. I came from a place of dealing with things. When I had an issue, I could deal with it because of my size, my strength. I could deal with a problem aggressively. I could deal with it. If there's a problem I had to deal with, I could deal with it with my two hands. I can I can literally wrestle it to death. I could strength my way through it. But now I'm dealing with a problem that's in front of me that there's no way I can deal with it in my flesh. I can, there's nothing, I couldn't put my hands on it. Something's attacking my wife that I cannot handle physically. Mm-hmm. So now I have to handle it through faith because it's the only other thing I know. And mm-hmm. in reality, I have learned that faith is the stronger method anyway. So that's the way I choose to handle every issue that I deal with. Mm-hmm. And now she's dealing with this thing emotionally because that's her default flesh method. Mm-hmm. Because like you said, that's the truth be told, that's the way everybody deals with things. You either going to deal with it spiritually or physically, you know, spirit or flesh. Mm-hmm. And so in the flesh, you have whatever mechanism that's your normal. And so mine was always physical. Hers was emotional. And in her emotional, in her flesh, she was dealing with it through fear. And her fear response was actually in direct violation of my faith response. Mm-hmm. And so that's what was bringing us to a place of clashing. And it was in a direct place of clashing. And it was in that place that we were having this place of discord, mm-hmm. that we couldn't figure out what was going on because I'm trying to fight this thing. I couldn't fight it physically. I couldn't fight it in my flesh. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to fight it spiritually. And I'm thinking we're supposed to be on the same page because we know we're fighting something that we mm-hmm. can't fight in our flesh. Mm-hmm. But she's fighting it in her flesh because she was vulnerable. She was still in her flesh. And so I'm thinking both of us are fighting this thing faith-wise, but because she's vulnerable, she's in her flesh and she's fighting it emotionally. And so she's in fear. And so now we have become adversarial in this place and we're not communicating. And so we had to get to that place where we understood each other so we could start to work our way through this thing.
And, you know, we were on two different planes in regards to faith. You know, yes, I do deal with things emotionally, but I also was struggling with the possible facts of not being able to walk again, having to be total care and missing out on my family's things, you know? So I began to become angry. And I wasn't only angry at the condition I had. I'll be honest, I was angry with God because I did not understand why this was happening. Granted, I knew all the stories about Job and, you know, all those things. But in that moment, in that time, I couldn't receive anything. And because I couldn't receive anything on my own from God, when my husband came to wash me with the word, I wasn't receiving what he was saying. And then our communication just completely almost went silent, you know, zero. You didn't hear nothing until, again, like you said, we had that intense moment of fellowship, almost like the clash of the Titans. Because he and I both, you know, we are strong-willed. But, you know, he had to basically break it down like, you know, baby, I can't take this. You know, you're going to have to want it for yourself. And I had to. And God revealed what I needed to do, which meant I had to leave him for 19 days. And we have not been apart from each other ever that long. You know, so, yeah, that was an area that, you know, transparency was needed because I had to tell him what my goals were, what the Lord revealed to me when I cried out to him about which way I needed to go during this tough transitional period. And, you know, being transparent, sharing feelings with each other can help align you with your goals and create a deeper understanding during transitional periods. Because when I first talked with my husband about what I needed to do, he didn't really know how to grasp it because y'all, it happened so quick. 3 days, I was at home and gone to the rehab facility. So, you know, it was hard for him to develop a deeper understanding until he saw how I was embracing my progress and how my fear was subsiding and those type of things. So, you know, it's important to check in. Excuse me. Even though we weren't in each other's presence, we checked in every day on the phone. Or he would come down every day. So you got to be able to check in because if you don't check in, you're not going to know what the other is thinking. And again, your reality and your perception of your transition and change is different from your spouse's. So you have to talk because you can't read each other's minds. And it's important to talk about life changes and how you both are coping emotionally, spiritually, and practically. So yeah, Pastor Chuck is not an emotional person. However, this transition was so tough, I actually saw emotion. I mean, I see emotion anyway, but I'm talking about some heavy emotion. And I didn't really know what to do with that either. I said, well, shoot, we both can't be down, you know. So it's important, again, to talk with your spouse and say, hey, honey, you know, how are you coping with this? What are you feeling right now? What are you thinking? You know, yeah.
And see, we must also recognize that not every situation affects each of us the same.
That's right.
For example, although you both now may have the weight of caring for your spouse's elderly parents, they are not actually your parents. So emotionally, it won't affect you the same as it does them. Just like with this situation, she was the one that was physically going through this. So her fear was going to be greater than mine, even though I had to deal with the fear of her not recovering.
Yeah.
I had to deal with that fear. I had to face that. I had to fight that. The fear that I had was not the same as the fear she had because she was the one experiencing it. Mm-hmm. So that's why I say you have to deal with this. You have to recognize that both of you are dealing with the same situation. You're dealing with the same experience. You're dealing with the same thing, but you're experiencing it from a different perspective. And that's why this communication is so important, because now you're going through this same situation together, but you both have different perspectives of it. Mm-hmm. And so you now have a different way of dealing with it. Mm-hmm. So emotionally, it's not going to affect both of you the same. So it's important that you support each other through the challenges, mm-hmm. because it may weigh heavier on one than the other throughout this walk. And so you have to see how that weighs, mm-hmm. because, and like I said, and we'll give you another example. Like I said, there was a time when we had to, you know, my wife's parents were separated, mm-hmm. and my mother-in-law was living with us.
For 3 years.
3.5 years.
Oh, excuse me.
And so, like you said, and because of that, mm. like you said, emotionally, mm-hmm. sometimes it was a heavier weight on her, mm-hmm. because that was her mother and her parents' mm-hmm. relationship that was broken.
Yeah.
But then sometimes, stress-wise, it was heavier on me.
Yeah.
Because I had to deal with my mother-in-law living in my house. I had to deal with the stress mm-hmm. of having to communicate and deal with her father. And so, and having to try to keep the peace and the balance mm-hmm. of the family dynamic that was going on. And so I'm having to deal with all of that. And so the stress sometimes was heavier on me than it was on her, because that was her family. And I'm trying to have to deal with the delicacies mm-hmm. of keeping everything in place, but also trying to manage everything. So like I said, the weight sometimes mm-hmm. shifts throughout this season, even though we're dealing with the same situation. And that's why the communication is so important.
Yep.
And so that's why we have to be mindful of this.
As a matter of fact, turn over to Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to look at verse 2. And this provides clear instruction. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Supporting one another through challenges represents a cornerstone of a strong marital foundation. When one of you is weak, the other should be strong. And don't minimize your spouse's pain. Validate their feelings and point them to Christ. Make your marriage a safe space and not a war zone. So just as Pastor Tuck was talking about how my mom had lived with us and my mom and dad had separated, and you know, it was havoc on my immediate family, but also my family of origin, you know, and I was emotional. It was rough. And not only that, Pastor Tuck became a new pastor at a church. Kaya was probably like two and a half.
She was two and a half, going on three. Yeah.
And I was pregnant with Courtney, plus working a full-time job. Plus, him trying to deal with his own back issues. And,
I was just leaving my job. There were a lot of seasons of change we were dealing with. And so, once again, all of these seasons we're dealing with. And so, you're talking about pressures mm-hmm. on a marriage.
Yeah.
And you're talking a marriage that's only, what, 5 years old probably at the time? Six years old at the time?
Yeah.
And so we're having to navigate all of these things. And so that's why we're talking to you about this stuff, because this is stuff that we are well qualified to talk about. Mm-hmm. And so when we start talking to people about marriage, you know, I know a lot of times you hear us on here every month talking about these things, and you're like, man, who are they to be telling us this stuff? We are a couple who have been married mm-hmm. 28 years. Mm-hmm. In 28 years, we're not just surviving, but we're thriving. We're still in love with each other. We still have a wonderful time with each other. Mm-hmm. And we're not just trying to put on what's glossy for the internet. Anybody who knows us will tell you, this is our life. This is who we are. And we're good at this because we trusted God, mm-hmm. sought God's wisdom, sought godly counsel, yeah. and walked through these things. And so we have wisdom to share with you so that you don't have to struggle. And we're being transparent, and we share these things with you so that your marriage can be successful. Mm-hmm. Because I get tired of hearing people talk about marriage in such a capacity to talk about it and talk about how it's so doom and gloom and how this is that you don't stand a chance, and how these things are going to kill you, and these things are not going to, you're not going to make it, because that's not the case.
Or even doing their marriage covenant alone. You know, we hear that a lot. Well, you know, I'm all by myself in this, and you know, my husband isn't this, and my husband isn't that, or my wife isn't this. And
And it's simply because people are not doing it properly.
Yeah.
And that's why we're talking about these things, because these are the types of things. These are the types of pitfalls. Mm-hmm. These are the stumbling blocks that people are failing at marriage because they don't understand how to navigate these things.
Yeah.
These seasons come up. These changes come up. These issues come up. And people don't recognize how to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And they're dealing with it by themselves. They, like you say, you have an ailing parent, and now that becomes a responsibility of your marriage. But you're dealing with them because your spouse is telling you, well, that's your parents.
Mm.
And so now you're the one that's having to go back and forth over there trying to take care of your mom that's sick, and now you're dealing with all of that, and your spouse, they're off doing their thing. They're just enjoying themselves. And you're trying to raise your child and trying to deal with your mom, and your spouse is just having a good old time.
Yeah.
And so now you're resentful toward your spouse because they're not chipping in. They're not supporting you. They're not helping you bear the weight. They're not even checking on you to see if you're okay.
Mm.
And that's why that's a problem.
Yeah.
Because this is not how marriage is supposed to be done. And see, we don't even understand that because we don't think about that. But see, it's the same thing, because just like, even though that's your parent that's sick and that's having to deal with that, but when their family needs money financially, yeah, and they go and give their money, the household money to their family, they don't look at that as if that's an issue. But you're the one that's also having to bear that weight.
Especially if you don't communicate and make assumptions. You know, there were times when my in-laws, you know, medication cost a lot. And, you know, yeah, they had Medicare, but, you know, they had issues with their secondary insurance. And, you know, at one point, my father-in-law wasn't on any cheap med, you know, so we had to financially help them. Now, if I had been resistant, or if he hadn't shared with me the status of this, where would that even cause us to be? I would be bitter. I would be resentful. You know, I'm like, you know, why is he taking this money? And I don't know about, you know, that type of thing. And I don't know, you know, you have to be able to support one another, you know, through this.
And that's why you have to understand marriage is exactly that. You go through seasons. There are ebbs, there are flows. There are times where, like I said, I've had to mm-hmm. do things to support my family financially. Family. I've had to do things to help them out in those particular families. Then there have been times where we've had to support her family mm-hmm. physically, like I said, because they've had ailments. They've had situations where they're, like I said, they were split up. Her mom came to live with us. Mm-hmm. They, like I said, when they were sick, we had to be the ones that actually took care of them mm. physically. Like I said, there are situations that go back and forth in marriage, but that's what you do in marriage
mm.
because we are married. We are the same person.
Yep.
We are a group. We are a unit.
Yep.
And so this is not a thing that, oh, you're on your own and I'm on my own. And there are going to be times, there are going to be seasons. There was times where I had health issues where she had to take care of me. And mm-hmm. now there's health issues that she has and I have to take care of her. So yeah. I can't treat her bad and she couldn't treat me bad. And so that's why I don't understand people who, that oh, your wife now has cancer or she has mm-hmm. this ailment or this whatever. And now you leave your wife. Ooh. How do you do that?
Jesus.
Because you don't understand that seasons change. That's like you have four of them in a year. That sometimes it's hot, sometimes it's cold, sometimes it's cool, sometimes it's warm. Because seasons change. There's a ebb and a flow in time. And that's what it is in marriage.
Yeah.
Like you say, you've got people who sit there and they say they walk out of their marriage because they're not having sex. Well, there's times where you have a lot. There's sometimes where you have a little. That's because there are seasons to life.
Yeah.
And so you have to be able to be prepared to grow through those seasons because mm-hmm. there are things that God is trying to teach you. He's trying to teach you patience. He's trying to teach you commitment. He's trying to teach you that your relationship is built on more than the things that you're trying to build it upon. Mm-hmm. And if your marriage is not strong enough to deal with the changes of the times, then you don't have a relationship at all. Because that's what it is. It's a relationship. You are required to have to relate to one another regardless of what's going on.
Yeah.
And that requires effort. It's not work. It requires effort.
Yeah.
You have to make a commitment. You have to put in time. You have to put in energy. And a practical way to provide mutual support is to provide, is to practice acts of service. Demonstrate love through tangible actions, whether by sharing household responsibilities or being present to listen. These meaningful gestures reinforce your commitment to one another. Something simple you can do is ask this question often. What can I do to support you this week, practically and spiritually? Oh, I'm going to say that again so you can write it down. What can I do to support you this week, practically and spiritually? See, because if your spouse is running back and forth to their parents' house to make sure that they have their medicines, that they have their meals prepared, that all of their doctor's appointments are scheduled and everything else, and they're working a job and they're taking care of the kids, if they're doing all of that, then who's taking care of your spouse? Because their spouse is not taking care of themselves because they're focused on taking care of their parents. Oh, I'm just going to say it again. Your spouse is not taking care of themselves. They're only taking care of their parents. And so if they're not taking care of themselves, eventually they're going to break down. Yeah. And when they break down, guess what?
The house.
Then nobody's going to be taking care of your kid. Nobody's going to be taking care of your house. And I'm talking to you fellas. Because this scenario, that's your wife. Your wife's running back and forth taking care of her parents. So she's not taking care of herself because she's running back and forth taking care of parents. She's not going to stop taking care of the house. She's not going to stop taking care of the kid, but she's not taking care of herself. But if you're not concerned about her, then eventually she's going to break down. And when she breaks down, all hell's going to break loose. Mm-hmm. Because now nobody's doing all the stuff that she normally does. Mm-hmm. Now no clothes are being washed. No dishes are being washed. No meals are being cooked. No kids are being taken care of. Nobody's being dropped off at school. Mm-hmm. Now, not only can she not take care of her parents, she can't take care of herself. And there's no sex in the house. So now you upset for real. Why? Because you didn't support her where she needed.
Yeah.
I'm going to flip it back to you ladies. Okay. So your husband, he's doing all of these things.
Go ahead, baby. Yeah.
So now he's trying to take care of work. He's trying to work. He's trying to he because you know how he does. He's out here now. He's got meetings. He's got this. He's got that. He's working 40 plus hours a week. He's doing all of this. Plus your mom and dad, his mom and dad, you know, they need this. They need that. So he's now trying to make sure that all of the needs are met at the house. And yeah. He's trying to make sure all the needs are met over there. So he's stressing about their bills, y'all's bills, and everybody else's bills.
Yeah.
But ain't nobody worried about, and he's not taking care of himself. So when he's sitting in the hospital with a blood sugar of 875 in intensive care, who taking care of him? Because he's not taking care of himself. So now who going to pay the bills? Who's going to do the thing? Who's going to cut the grass? Who's going to make sure that the car's getting serviced? Who's going to take care of the things that he normally takes care of? See, so it's a lot easier when we try to support one another because we recognize that they're going through a season where their burden is, their plate is heavier than it normally is. So why not try to take some things off their plate? Why not try to lift their burden? Why not try to carry one another's burden so that they can make it through?
And not all days are going to be good. I mean,
no.
You can't retaliate because you've had a bad day. You know, we're talking about seasons. I started thinking about like hurricane season. You know, we can prepare as much as we need to prepare, but we never know what devastation a hurricane's going to cause.
Exactly.
It can start off like little teeny little sprays of water. Then all of a sudden a torrential downpour. And the next thing you know, everything is flooded. As we experience with Asheville, North Carolina, you know. So by, trying to expect that everything's going to iron out, you know, immediately, sometimes that's not going to happen. But you have to prepare yourself for every single season. Mm-hmm. You know, sprinkling rain, I may go out with an umbrella. Torrential downpour, I'm going to have an umbrella. And a slicker on. Hurricane, I ain't going nowhere but to shelter, you know. So it just depends on the situations that come up. How you going to react and respond. And if they say you need to evacuate, guess what? What are we doing? We're evacuating.
And you're not just evacuating by yourself.
Right.
You're trying to make sure that everybody. Yep. And that's the thing. It's not every man for themselves. You got a family.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so we want to give you some practical tips for growing through seasons. The first one would be cultivate a spiritual connection. Dedicate time to pray together, actively seeking God's guidance and wisdom for your current season. Take moments to reflect on past seasons and acknowledge how God worked in your lives.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this. Strong marriages are built before the storm.
Wow.
On prayer, communication, trust, and God's word.
Mm-mm.
We would have never made it through last year had we not been prepared for it.
Jesus. See,
the reason why we made it out of last year was because we were prepared.
Yeah.
Because we were the type of family, we had the type of marriage that we always do these things because we had practices that we put in place. Because we had a spiritual household that when the pressure hits, we are prepared for storms.
Mm-hmm.
See, people in Florida don't just deal with hurricanes when they show up. People in Florida deal with hurricanes. People in Florida got plywood in their garage.
Mm-hmm.
We don't keep plywood in our garage.
Or sandbags.
Yes. We don't keep stuff like that.
Yeah.
People in Florida got stuff like that in their house because they prepare for storms.
Yep.
So that's why you have to be prepared.
Mm.
Because you do the things necessary to prepare.
And don't wait for life to crumble before you invest in each other spiritually. Practice grace under pressure. Give each other room to grow, fail, and bounce back. Okay?
Yeah.
So, you know, things, don't wait till it crumble. And yeah, there's pressure. And ladies, you have to give your spouses the opportunity to grow, fail, and bounce back without holding it over their heads, holding them hostage for it, you know, doing them remember when statements. No, you can't do that.
It's so important to practice grace.
Yep.
One thing we have to understand, the responsibility we have for grace. See, the responsibility we have for grace is to be distributors of it.
Mm-hmm.
Our job is to give out the same grace that Christ gave us. See, we have to recognize the same grace that we received, we are now distributors of that. So we're supposed to give people the same grace that he gave us, the same grace that we can appreciate that he gave us, we're now supposed to be giving to someone else.
Mm.
So recognize that. When your spouse makes a mistake, then you're not supposed to beat them over the head with
it. Yep, that's right.
You're supposed to give them enough grace that they can now recover from that. And love them through that the same way Christ does us. Another tip to grow through these seasons is create a strong support network. You have to intentionally build relationships with friends and family who can support and encourage. Now, this is important. See, because we like to pick our friends for fun. But you need to pick your friends for strength. You have to know, and I always tell people this, when you're married, you have to pick friends who are going to strengthen your marriage, not just friends you like to hang out with.
Mm-hmm.
See, you got to pick people who have strong marriages, people who know how to hold you accountable, people who are going to speak wisdom into your life, not people who just going just fun to hang out with. See, when you do something stupid, you got to have a homeboy that's going to tell you, man, that was dumb.
Yeah.
When you mad with your wife and you want to say something stupid, you got to have somebody say, man, go apologize to your wife. Man, that was, man, you wrong for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they don't value your marriage enough to tell you when you've done something wrong and done something stupid and to correct you, then they're working against your marriage.
Wow.
If they're going to encourage your stupidity, they're working against your marriage. And so that's why you have to create a strong network so that when trouble comes, when pressure comes, they're the people who are going to want to help alleviate that pressure.
Oh, yeah. And don't hesitate to seek professional guidance, like through marriage workshops or counseling when needed. So, you know, y'all have SEER training. You have it available on the My Church channel. You have it available on YouTube. Everything that's on there to help you deal with an issue in your marriage is right there. So it's easy to get on those things instead of sitting there looking at another site with an attitude that they have that you carry into your relationship. And yes, counseling can help. Sometimes you need an objective party to look from the outside in. Because when you're looking from the end to the end, all of us inside and you're struggling, sometimes you need that outside professional counselor to, you know, cause you to rethink some things or, you know, look at things in a different light.
And watch this. You know, we were talking about this, the strong network, support network. And I said, you got to have the right type of friends. When we were going through that rough season last year, like saying, when we got to that clash point, Pastor Stephanie was talking about, we had some of our close friends were here at that very moment when it happened. And they saw it.
Yep.
And they recognized that was a critical moment.
Yep.
And they sacrificed their own time, their own schedule. They said, no, we need to be here.
Their own physical strength.
And they were like, we need to be here to lighten the load.
Yeah.
And so they said, no, we were getting ready to leave. We were getting ready. We had some things to do, but we're going to rearrange our schedule because we see the stress they're under.
Yeah.
So where they cannot take the weight off of one another, we're going to step in and take some of this weight off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, that's what the purpose of a support network is. That's what they do. Somebody who sees that when y'all are going through, when you have kids and you're going through one of these seasons, they like, oh, well, we're going to come keep the kids so y'all can go out.
Right.
Well, we're going to do this. Well, we're going to go by and check on your mom and dad for you. We're going to do something to take this pressure off of you because we see where you are, because we're concerned about what's going on. That's why it's important to have that strong network.
And it's always nice, like we in a situation when we first started struggling, my physical, you know, being, we had a dear friend to call and she was like, how can I help? And I didn't really know what to tell her. But the next thing you know, we had DoorDash or whoever bringing us an entire meal for us to eat on for a week, you know. So, you know, just that little bit of consideration goes a long way, because friends should not suck the life out of you. Am I right?
Exactly.
Family should not suck the life out of you. And you know who is on your team when you are refueled, when you are, what am I trying to say? Refueled, you know, instead of totally empty.
The saying goes, a friend in need is a friend indeed. When you are in need, that's how you find out who your friends are.
Mm.
That's when you're in a situation, when you're in that season.
Yep.
Another tip is to remain committed spiritually and emotionally. Ephesians 4 verses 2 and 3 says, it guides us this way. It says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. See, true commitment involves nurturing both spiritual and emotional connections within your relationship. Emotions may change with seasons, but our commitment must remain constant.
So stay spiritually connected through shared devotionals, worship, and faith goals. Stay emotionally connected through intentional affection, listening, and spending time together.
Yeah. You know, like you said, even when she was in the rehab facility, like you said, I literally went up and took took the Roku up there and plugged it up to the TV in the facility. And literally I climbed in the hospital bed with her and we sat there and we watched movies together. Mm-hmm. You know, people sitting there looking at, we watched the shows that we normally would watch at home in bed mm-hmm. together. And people sitting there looking at us like, what the nurses would come in and wonder what's going on.
I
basically closed the blinds and they're sitting there wondering, but like I said, it was important.
Yeah.
It's important because we were going through a rough season. And like I said, and it's important to stay connected in that season because those are the times that are that the pressure is on and you need to do the things necessary to relieve that pressure because that's when the pressure is trying to break you and you need to make sure that you don't allow it to. Another tip, practice patience and humility. Approach challenges with gentleness and understanding. Mm-hmm. Remembering you're both growing and learning together.
That's right.
I'm telling you, this is so important. You've got to remember that, like I said, you both are going through this process, this season, whatever it is. Like I said, whether it's a health challenge, a financial challenge, a family challenge, whether it's a season where, like I said, I know people who are retiring who are struggling with retirement. Because they're struggling with their identity. So many people put their identity in their job. And now that they are retired, they don't know how to deal with that, which to me is crazy. I'm like, you hated going to work every day and now you don't go to work every day, and now you got a problem. You should be thanking the Lord every day. Your new job should be worshiping God and thanking Him that you're free. But I digress. You know, the fact of the matter, you got people who struggle with change. You got people who struggle with the emptiness. Like I said, that's a new season. And that's because they have not invested in their relationship. And now that children are gone, they're like, now what are we going to do? You better figure it out because you had a relationship before you had children.
I'm sorry. You know, I'm even thinking about with seasons changing. There are also couples that have struggled with fertility issues. And, you know, maybe they got pregnant and had a miscarriage or a stillbirth. You know, of course, a young couple, they're anticipating, oh, we're going to have a big family one day. Mm-hmm. And then this happens.
Yeah.
Okay. So how are you going to support each other through the grief, the disappointment, you know, even the financial strain? Because IVF ain't cheap.
Nope.
Or, you know, just the fact of having to, you know, bury that child. You know, it's just, I don't know. That just popped in my mind thinking about that.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, there are all kinds of seasons.
Yeah.
But you just got to remember, like I said, you're going through them together.
Together. Yep.
You got to remember, seasons will come and go. But God remains constant. And so should your commitment to your marriage.
Yep.
Because growth isn't easy, but it's always worth it.
Sure is.
Together, we can weather the seasons and bring glory to God through our relationship. Mm-hmm. See, it's important to remember the purpose of your relationship. The purpose of our relationship, the purpose of marriage in itself is not to make you happy. That's why you see people quit.
When they become unhappy.
When seasons change.
Yep.
Because people are like, well, I'm no longer happy. Well, that's the problem. Mm-hmm. Because you thought the purpose of the marriage was to make you happy. See, if you know, oh, because, you know, oh, the fire's gone. See, that's because you thought the purpose of the marriage was for your fulfillment.
Yeah.
See, if you get married in summertime and then when wintertime hits, you cold. You're going to leave because you thought everything was supposed to be hot.
Jesus, I'm thinking about 2020. Talk about a season.
Yeah.
When COVID came.
Oh, man. So many people are divorced because they didn't know how to spend time with their spouse.
Couldn't
stand
them.
That's why you got married.
Yeah.
Because that's who you want to spend your life with. And when you actually had to spend your life with them, you had a problem.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me.
Me too.
I always told people, and people thought I was playing. And I said it. I said this so often before COVID ever came, before the pandemic, before we ever knew anything like this would ever happen. I used to say this to people all the time. I said, you can lock the doors of my house from the outside. Mm-hmm. Just make sure you drop off food every now and then. I said, you can cut the internet and everything else. I said, you can come back and ain't nobody going to be dead. Ain't nobody going to kill nobody. I said, we'll be in here. I said, we're going to be fine.
Jesus.
I said, because everybody in here love everybody. And we lived in that house, me, my wife, my two girls. Mm-hmm. I said, won't nobody fighting and scratching, trying to get out. Mm-mm. I said, we door dashed every day. I said, we sat back and we chilled out. My girls didn't even have TVs in their room. We used to all sit in there in the living room and watch TV together. Mm-hmm. And we used to sit back and eat our meals. We door dashed and Instacarted everything. And we just sat back and enjoyed our life. And people used to be like, man, they got to do something about these kids going back to school. And I'm like, what are y'all talking about? Who are y'all talking about? Because my kids, I love my kids. I'm enjoying having my kids at home with me. What are you talking about?
Yep.
I'm enjoying having my wife home with me. What are you talking about? But that's the problem. Because we've not invested. We've not done the things necessary. And so, like you said, when the seasons change, you're like, what am I going to do with this? Because you've not done the work. Mm. You've not prepared. But you got to recognize that seasons change. There are going to be times. There are going to be seasons. And they're going to come.
Yeah.
But when you're prepared for them, it's just not a big deal. Mm-mm. Because I'm good with this. And the purpose of my marriage is to glorify God. It's to represent the relationship with Christ and the church. Mm-hmm. And so if Christ has been faithful to the church, regardless, it doesn't matter. Ooh. Don't matter what comes.
Yeah.
Christ is not a fair weather guy.
It sure isn't.
So it didn't matter what season. He's like, man, I'm always with you.
Yes. Committed. Constant.
So if that's what my marriage is supposed to look like, then I got to prepare for that. Because there are going to come times where we're not going to be the same. We're not going to feel the same. Our health is going to change. We're going to have issues. We're going to have more busier. We're going to have other responsibilities. Stuff is going to happen. And so we want our marriage to always bring glory to God.
Yeah.
So let us pray for wisdom, strength to embrace each season with grace and love, knowing that God will always be there through every change we face. Amen. Because the Bible says, let us not grow weary in doing good, for at a proper time, in due season,
that's right,
we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you today. Amen. We pray you've been blessed by SEER training. And if you've been blessed by SEER training or any of our teaching here at My Church Virtual Network, and you want to help us continue to do what God's called us to do, you can help us by sowing a financial seed. You can use Cash App, $ My Church Channel, or you can go to our website, www.lovemychurch.org, and click sow a seed. We have a mandate to spread the gospel all over the world. And so we're on just about every streaming platform there is. We're on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, LG TV. We've got our own app on Apple and Google Play App Store called My Church on the Go. But our goal is to make sure the gospel is available, that we have all kinds of Christian-based streaming programming available so that at any time you need something to build your faith, we've got programming like the Leadership Academy, Women of Worth, The Man Cave, Marriage SEER Training, The Heart of the Pastor, Medicine for the Mind. On Sunday mornings, we got Victory Today with Apostles Tony and Cynthia Brazelton. We've got The Enjoyable Life with Drs. Russell and Vita Cash. So we've got all kinds of Christian-based programming for you. We've even got stuff to make you laugh. We've got My Church Laughs. We've got stand-up comedy, Christian-based stand-up comedy. But whatever you need to help you be a well-rounded believer.
Yeah.
And so if you want to help us continue to do the mandate that God's given us as a ministry, sow a financial seed. But otherwise, we bless you. We love you.
Love you.
Make sure you come back. Make sure you share this word with somebody you know who needs it. Mm-hmm. Because you know there are couples out there who are struggling.
Yep.
And marriage is ordained by God, and so many marriages are struggling.
Yep.
But God bless you. We love you. Stay tuned for our announcements and come back and see us again. God bless you. I'm Pastor Tuck. That's Pastor Stephanie. And see you again on next time.
I won't let you go until you bless me. There's got to be a resolve on the inside of the church. Woo, glory!
He says, you show up and let the Lord speak to you. Glory to God.
First responsibility of leadership is in your home. And that's why it's your ministry to your spouse and your kids that matters the most.
Different from ever before. If your recovery is fresh, or if your addiction-free lifestyle.
I want to be able to rejoice in the adversities that were there.
We're seeing all of these things happen. And the sad thing is, it's happening by our own decision. You know, a lot of people deal with a lot of depression, anxiety, frustration. Just thinking back, man, you know, how long this run has been going with us, man.
That's right.
You know.
At my church, we help people get better by teaching them how the Word works. And we want to make sure there's no excuse not to get the Word. It's our goal to make all of our ministries accessible on every smartphone, tablet, PC, and television connected to the internet. So whether you're a man who needs some wisdom, a woman who needs some encouragement, or a couple who needs guidance, the My Church channel has just what you need. Simply search for the My Church channel on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and now LG TV, or visit mychurchchannel.org. You can also download the My Church on the Go app from the Apple or Google Play App Store. Constantly on the move, check out the Word at My Church podcast from your favorite podcast platform. Or simply download the Word at My Church skill from your Alexa-enabled device. But whatever you do, make sure you stay connected. See you soon.